Do I actually do it every day, praising my Savior all the day long? Just for any who went up with us this morning, we've started looking at a very important topic for our lives today, the Holy Spirit. And I'll just quickly go through a summary, not all of the slides we had this morning. Firstly, the question, have I failed to realize how fundamentally important this topic is in the New Testament era? And it may be I've had some influence from the Pentecostal movement, certainly in Zambia, I'm sure here, where you have people claiming to be slain in the Spirit and speaking in tongues, and we kind of back away from the importance of the Holy Spirit. We look very quickly at some of the many titles of the Holy Spirit, and you go through that for a study for yourself, just confirming very definitely His deity. He is divine. The Lord Jesus said to us, God is Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We looked again very quickly to see, it's interesting, the first and the last mention, if you're studying a topic, go to the first mention, the last mention, and you'll often get important teaching on that topic. And the Holy Spirit is right there at the doorstep of the Scriptures, the very second verse of the Bible. And He's hovering, He's starting His work of preparation for God to shine the light into the darkness, and He's still doing the same in our world today. And we see the end result of His work in the scene of time in Revelation, where He's built the church, the bride prepared for Christ, and He is in unison with the bride saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. We thought as well that it's the Holy Spirit that we owe this huge debt to for the inspiration of Scripture. And I won't go through the verses that we looked at this morning on that, but I will just give 9 summary points in terms of the working of the Holy Spirit in this age of grace today that I think are incredible. Number one, He has been poured out. And I won't go through the explanation, just keep that in your mind. God has given us His Spirit liberally and irretrievably in this time of the age of His grace. There's such a comparison between the law and the age of grace. The law came on stone tablets. You and I today, we have the Holy Spirit resident in our hearts. That's an incredible blessing of God. And then the fact that the Holy Spirit is with us is God's stamp of divine ownership. Every child of God is sealed with the Holy Spirit. What a blessing that is. He cannot be taken away. Child of God, you have no fear. He is with you forever, right to the end of your life in this world. Remember, everything is achieved in the power of the Holy Spirit. Right from the initial conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life, bringing me to repentance, pointing me to Christ, bringing me to new birth, dwelling in me, and then becoming my teacher, my helper, my guide in everyday life. That's an amazing thing. And now, even though I was born in the slavery of the sinful nature, I can now walk in the Spirit. Wow, that's an incredible blessing. And perhaps we'll go through that another time. But there is this necessity. We have received the Holy Spirit, but am I filled with the Holy Spirit? And when we get to that topic, you'll find in the book of Acts, time and time again, these early Christians were filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Their lives were under the control, completely dedicated to the Holy Spirit. But perhaps today in my life, I'm missing out. Because unknowingly or ignorantly, I may have grieved the Holy Spirit, and He's no longer working in my life as He wants to or as He deserves to do. We look very quickly at the difference between the age of the law and the age of the Spirit. You see, the age of the law, 2 Corinthians 3 says, it resulted in death. And you see that right when the law came in Exodus 33. But the age of the Spirit, it brings life. It's the giver of life. We have life in the Spirit. You see, these commandments were engraved on stone tablets, but the Holy Spirit lives within us. What an incredible blessing. The glory of the law was passing, but this glory, the age of the Spirit, it remains. The time of the law, it brought condemnation. Totally guilty before God, the age of the Spirit makes us right with God, with the righteousness of Christ. The age of the law was made to be glorious. It appeared to be glorious, but it does not compare with the surpassing glory of the age of the Spirit. Moses had to veil his face. They could not even look upon him. And he was just a reflection of the glory of God. Whereas you and I today, we behold the glory of the Lord. What an incredible blessing. The first was replaced. The age of the Spirit remains forever. Then we look very quickly at a key principle to begin with. And again, just a quick summary, not all of the slides. You see, many years ago, Zerubbabel, at a time of trial in his life, he received a word from the Lord, and God said to him, Zerubbabel, this is the word of the Lord. It is not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says who? The Lord, L-O-R-D, capitals of hosts. This is the self-existent, eternal God who has an interest in you and in me. And he is in control of all of heaven's forces, heaven's armies, as some translations say. So we mentioned we need to hear those words today. It's not world governments that are in control. You see, God is in control of our universe. And so also in the church, there is a tendency today to rely on human wisdom and ability. No, the church is the work of the living God. And so we need to be dependent on the leading and work of the Holy Spirit. God gave this promise to Zechariah. He says, yes, in front of you is this insurmountable mountain, but it's about to become a level plain. And we thought of that, that perhaps in our lives we have these insurmountable mountains, but one day it will result in this paean of praise to God for the completeness of his work. Let us remember that which is impossible from our perspective is always possible in the power and working of the Holy Spirit. Very quickly, the background to that passage, which is very applicable for us today. They were at a crunch point in the rebuilding of the temple, and perhaps we are at a crunch point in the building of the church today. So it has very clear application to our lives today. 50,000 Jews coming back from exile, building the temple, doing a good job with Zerubbabel, with Joshua. The work progressed well until this huge mountain, King Artaxerxes says, stop building. Stop the work. Praise God, he is in control, and he brings this message through Haggai, through Zechariah, etc. And we dwelt on that this morning. And when they heard, they continued with the building of that temple. So we finished this morning. What insurmountable things do we have in our lives today? Is it the agenda of the government today? Is it the anti-God mindset here in the West? Is it the struggle to spread the gospel? Or perhaps a lack of unity and growth in the church? God is personally interested in the status of his work today, and he comes with this message that it is not by might or by power. So when we're faced with these apparent oppositions, I trust we take the opportunity to get on our knees in prayer, to hear the word of the Lord, and remember it all depends upon the working of the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. So how do we see examples of that in our New Testament? And that's really what we want to look at very briefly this evening. Four specific examples that we can see in the New Testament, and there are many others, I'm sure, where it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let us come to the birth of our Savior. Matthew chapter 1, and let's read verse number 18 to 20. Keep in mind, just as we find the Holy Spirit right at the doorstep of the Old Testament, we find him here right at the doorstep of the New Testament. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by the Holy Spirit. Right at the start of the New Testament age, the Holy Spirit is there to do a miracle, to do the impossible. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to divorce her or put her away privately. But while he thought about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for what has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Can I ask the question, how is it possible for the Son of God to be born into this world? That is a huge, insurmountable mountain. Not just the fact of humility, but how can he enter humanity maintaining his deity? How is it he can come into time, you see, and yet maintain his intrinsic holiness and not be tainted by the human nature? The answer is clear, and we have found it. The Holy Spirit, right at the start of the New Testament, makes the impossible from your perspective and mine totally possible when he is the source of the conception for Mary. And so right here at the start of the New Testament, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. You see, this miraculous conception took place. Let's come to Luke very quickly, chapter 1, that gives us a little more detail upon this when Mary questions about how this is going to happen. Luke chapter 1, firstly, there is a whole description, it's beautiful, of the Lord Jesus, who he will be. And in verse 31, the angel says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give to him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary is faced with this impossibility. And so she asked the question, how can this be? I have never slept with a man. There's no male component here. How can this take place? Verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. He gives an example, verse 36. Indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her womb, in her old age, and this is now the sixth month. Well, that's one thing, isn't it? She was past the age of childbearing, and the Holy Spirit made that possible. But here is Mary, who doesn't even have a husband yet. And so he goes on in verse 37, with God, nothing is impossible. Doesn't that link us straight back in to the account of Zechariah? It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Dear child of God, we have a miracle of the Holy Spirit right at the start of our New Testament. Born through a human mother, the Son of God fulfills the first prophecy in the Old Testament to be the seed of the woman. And he fulfills another Old Testament prophecy, being Emmanuel, God with us, deity stepping into humanity. This is an awesome mystery. We don't have time to stay here. But dear child of God, this sets Christianity way apart from anything else that any other religion can offer to you. This is God with us. And it takes place through the power and working of the Holy Spirit and will lead to God in us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You see, the birth of our Lord Jesus, it lays the whole foundation for the New Testament. He was born in the power of the Holy Spirit. So how is the church going to be born on the day of Pentecost? And we trust to look at that another time. That has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit. The day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit is poured out into the world and the church is born just as Christ was born. In the power of the Holy Spirit, the church will be born in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's come just a little bit closer in your life and mine. How were we born again into the family of God? It's exactly the same principle. It's born of the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is laying the foundation, the fundamental principle here. Christ came into this world born by the Holy Spirit. The church will be born through the Holy Spirit, and any individual who comes to Christ will be born through the working of the Holy Spirit. We are in this age of God's incredible grace, where truly it is not by human effort, not by human force or power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Very quickly, example number two, fulfilling the commission. Let's read very quickly in Matthew chapter 28 and keep in mind these are the words of the Lord Jesus to his own, the people, the disciples he has been with for 3.5 years. And they've met with him on a mountain, and that's a whole topic on itself. To be commissioned by Christ, you must first meet with Christ on the mountain. And following that, they worship him, and following the worship of him, he says to them in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. We read those words so easily. Put yourself right in the shoes of those 12 early disciples. Who are they? Where are they from? How can they fulfill this incredible commission? All nations? Dear child of God, this is an insurmountable mountain. How can these people, here they are, mostly uneducated, typically fishermen. One was a tax collector, others from backgrounds we don't really know much about. They've lived in Galilee. They've probably never stepped outside of their homeland, Israel. They probably know no other language than their own. And Christ is saying, go and disciple people from all nations. That is an insurmountable mountain. What happened? Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. The book of Acts chapter 1 and God willing, we'll get into this more another time. The words of the Lord Jesus, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come." They were absolutely powerless in and of themselves. And he says to fulfill this commission, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." You see, whatever Christ commissions, he gives the ability to fulfill that commission. This appeared to be a total impossibility, and he says, "Don't worry, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my Spirit," says the Lord. "You shall receive power to be my witnesses." Where does he say? Firstly, in your own backyard, as we would say, in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. But how are they going to cross the language barrier? Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, on the day of Pentecost, another miracle happens. Verse 4, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance," or gave them ability. The Spirit gave them the power. The Holy Spirit gave them the language to use. Oh, dear child of God, so often we look at ourselves and yes, we are nothing. How can we ever achieve what God wants us to achieve in our lives? Can I just emphasize this evening that if God is commissioning you to a work, he will always provide the ability for you to fulfill that work. It never relies upon your own ability or wisdom. It is the power and ability of God. And if we're doubting that, this is a beautiful example here in the book of Acts. You see, the results of Babel, I won't go into that this evening, was completely reversed. The impossible was made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly and quickly, how is it ever possible that you and I can be united into one body, the church? We're all from diverse backgrounds, from diverse upbringings, with human ability. You try and form, apologies, a political party that hangs together for life, you will fail because of the human nature. But God is going to do something that is absolutely impossible from the human perspective. There's another insurmountable mountain. How is it possible for Christ to build his church and to introduce into it different members from different backgrounds, from different upbringings, and they become one in Jesus Christ? Dear child of God, don't miss out this evening. The church is an incredible miracle of God. There's nothing like it in this world. You can go through any society, any bringing together of people. It pales into insignificance compared to what God is doing in his church. It's interesting visiting different places, and sometimes you look at the congregation, I forget where we were, a month or so ago, there must have been 10 or 12 different ethnic backgrounds in that church. And you say, praise God. That's a work of grace. How else is that possible? Why would you and I be here together, meeting in this room tonight, if it wasn't the working of the Holy Spirit of God? Well, you see, again, there is an answer from Scripture. Let's come quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He has given those first disciples power and the ability to spread the message. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it emphasizes for us in verse 12, using the example of the human body, it has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Oh, dear child of God, it's not your human ability or your efforts to be able to mix with people. It's the Holy Spirit that has joined us and united us inseparably together. Again, I don't have time to go into the doctrine behind this, but the meaning, as I understand, the baptism of the Spirit was a once and for all event. There on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, even though you and I at that point, we weren't in existence from God's perspective, every member of the body was formed and linked together. And the only example I can think of to give you at this time is when a newborn babe is born, you look at that beautiful body. Every member of the body is there. It's lacking for nothing, but it will take many years before certain parts of that body really function as they are supposed to do. And in the same way, at Pentecost, from God's perspective, every member of the church was baptized together into one body, and we are joined inseparably together. By who? It's the baptism of the Spirit. You see, what enables us to unite together, to fellowship together, that same Holy Spirit, divine in his person and ability, is resident in your life and in mine. He has joined us together permanently and eternally through the baptism of the Spirit. What another miracle. But let me just bring out a quick practical point here. You see, if we have been joined together in the power of the Spirit, then we are exhorted to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I won't go there because we had a discussion last Sunday just on those certain differences that sometimes can bring division, can bring separation, that aren't the importance in Christian life. Let's seek always to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, because Christ himself says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. You have love one for another. And he says in John 17, in his prayer to the Father, that the world may know that you have sent me. How? By our oneness and unity in Christ. Truly, it is not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Can I finish quickly with this one? This is a miracle. Because as you age in your human body, you no longer represent who you used to be. And we're all facing that. You see, the outward is perishing. But praise God, even though the outward is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. How can that take place? How is it possible that you and I can become truly more like Jesus Christ? You see, I was born with the image of the first man. And because of that, I will suffer the same fate as the first man in terms of the outward. But you see, God has done a work in me, and he has made me a child of God. I was born again in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has not finished his work in my life. Let's come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Perhaps I should start in verse 16. Now, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is that freedom. The veil has been taken away from our eyes. But we all, so that now we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Dear child of God, yes, the outward is perishing, but the Holy Spirit has not finished his work in you and in me, and in his transforming power day by day, we are changed into the image of Christ from glory into glory. I suggest to you that is another insurmountable mountain from the human perspective. But you see, as we have been studying, the whole work of salvation is of grace from end to finish. It's not dependent upon you. It's God doing everything for us in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as I close this evening, in all that we do for the Lord, and I'm not just thinking of the public, of here together when we meet on Sundays, whether in our personal lives or in the local church, in our collective lives, let's always keep in mind these words spoken thousands of years ago, but they're so true for you and me today. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by human effort or ability. It's not because of who we are or who we may want to be. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Father, just thank you again this evening for this brief reminder of these words and how they apply in the age of the church today. The Holy Spirit has done a miraculous work from the birth of our Savior into this world. Born holy, the Son of God, through to the birth of the church, our new birth as believers in the Lord Jesus, and this ongoing work in our lives of changing us from glory into glory. You know the week that is before us. We need you every step of the way. Help us to be filled and guided by your Spirit, as individuals and as a company of your people. May you be exalted. We bow before you in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.